The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Is Jesus the one? The question has probably run through your mind from time to time. Perhaps you have entertained the question that John sent his disciples to Jesus about. The question in your own heart and in your own mind, as you sit in your own version of darkness, doubt, and despair. Maybe you are sitting in full of doubts, wondering, with all that's happened in your life, with all of the chaos and confusion in the world, with all of the evil and terror that we are seeing in this world, are you the one, Jesus? Give us a sign. If this is not a sign, with all of the garbage that is happening in our world, that our Lord is closer now than ever before, we should be woken up. The world is a dangerous place, filled with violence and violent people and insanity, and people have weapons. We know that, and at some level we accept this as part of our lives. But surely the one who has stated, "Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you," surely he will deliver us in our time of need. Surely he could have sent his holy angels to San Bernardino or to Paris or elsewhere where terror rages on, but he did not. Are you the one who is coming, or do we look for another? Do we look to somehow coexist with one another, as the bumper stickers like to say today? Or do we tremble in fear, bumble and stumble around, looking at one another, asking the question, where in the world is God in the midst of this life and this world that is falling apart? I cannot imagine, to begin, the grief process for people who have lost loved ones through acts of terror or violence. I cannot even sum up enough empathy to begin to know how it feels to lose a loved one. A loved one that you say your good mornings to and your goodbyes to in the morning, that you give your kiss and your hug to, and then later on in the news, it's all over the world that they are now gone. There's a gunman loose. There are bombs going off. I can't even begin to fathom the anxious moments that people have, the hours as they await the news as to whether their loved one is happy or dead. I don't want to know more than I already know. I wish the news would just be quiet in many ways. I want the politicians and the pundits and the public religious people to just be quiet. I don't want to think about any of this anymore. I want the whole thing to recede back into the darkness from whence it came. And in the doubt darkness and the doubts and the fears that I have and that you have, and in the great expectations that we have of our Lord each and every day, we're asking that question, whether we realize it or not. Are you the one, or do I look for another? You see, we've been trained to think, from Scripture in many ways, that God will act on our behalf. We expect God to act on the side of truth and of justice. We expect God to act against evil and sickness and darkness. John expected an axe of God's wrath, a winnowing fork of judgment, a consuming fire, a holy wind. John expected a bodybuilder of a Messiah to break down the walls of the prison that he was in, a strong man, a leader, a warrior, a revolutionary, one who would come and set God's people free and set up an earthly throne here on earth. One who would come and restore a throne and a temple, one who would establish a kingdom of God here on earth, where the lion and the lamb would lay down together, where the infant would play by the hole of the cobra, where we could go about our lives in peace and safety and quietness. And yet John received something unexpected. A baptized Jesus, willing to stand in solidarity with sinners and broken people. A humble Messiah, willing to dine with tax collectors and prostitutes. A lowly Messiah who refused to use his divine power to feed his hunger or to establish some sort of earthly kingdom. John saw a meek Messiah, one who didn't come and bind up the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus is the meek and humble Messiah who would receive all of the beatings of the world who didn't want him. John pointed to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, a crucified Messiah who conquered the darkness by diving headlong into the darkness and the death himself, who defeated death by swallowing up death and taking the whole world, you and me, along for this long, crazy ride. Are you the one that we should look for, or shall we look for another? The two disciples ask a dutiful question, a dark question of Jesus. In that hour, at that very moment, before their very eyes, Jesus did many signs. He healed the sick, the lame, the demonized. He did the Messiah type of signs. Go back to tell John and see what, and tell him what you have seen and heard, he says. Tell John about the blind man who can see. Tell him about the leper who can return home to his family. Tell him about the lame man who is now dancing a jig. Tell him about the poor who hear the good news. The poor who are in their sins, who are in their darkness, who now receive the light and life of the world. Tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. And say to this John, blessed is the one who is not, blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me. Not offended. We like to use that word a lot these days. I'm offended by this. Jesus says no, even something sharper. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me, who's all shook up and saying, I want nothing to do with this. Make sure that John hears that last sentence, and be sure that you hear it today as well. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me, he says to us today. Blessed is the one who does not stumble over my apparent weakness, my unwillingness to use power, my apparent impotence against the forces of darkness. Blessed is the one who is not offended by my power perfected in my weakness, by my victory over sin, death, and the devil hidden in my defeat. Blessed is the one who believes in spite of what he sees, who sees life in a bloodied Messiah on the cross. Blessed is the one who sees all of their meaning in life found in the crucified and resurrected Savior of the world. We don't see or hear John's reaction in prison today with the news that the disciples returned to tell him. Did he smile? Did he laugh? Did he weep? Did he dance with joy? Or like Mary at the manger, did he ponder up all of these things in his own heart? Jesus called John the greatest born of women, a prophet more than a prophet, a messenger of the Lord, a voice in the wilderness, a witness to the light. And even in the darkness of a dungeon, even as he utters the unspeakable dark and doubting question, "Are you the one really for me?" John is now great. John was not the light, but he witnessed the light and gave witness to the light, the pointer, the guide. John must decrease, Jesus must increase. The end of this week, we mark once again the shortest day of the year, the longest night in the northern hemisphere. The darkness deepens, and we sing with that hymn, "Lord, abide with us." The darkness is even a bit deeper for us in tragic death, in the death of innocents like babies of Bethlehem or the victims of violence and terror. We cry out with our Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken us? Where is this light that we may see and know and understand? Give us something in order to believe. Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we in our darkened despair look for another? Jesus comes to us once again this Advent season in the midst of our darkness. He doesn't come and embrace us with an arm, with a happy, cheery message. He doesn't come and fill our wallets or our household with all of the goodies found underneath our tree. He comes with a word and with his sign, a cleansing bath and baptism, the body and blood once again prepared for you this day for the forgiveness, life, and salvation of your soul. The word has been spoken to you this day of greater truths than you can even imagine. Truths that your sin, your doubt, and your despair, all of your fears are taken away in him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You now have the light of the world in a world full of darkness and despair. You are forgiven, he says. You are free. I have not abandoned you, but I have embraced you in the most God-forsaken of times. The light has not gone out, but shines out from this place in the darkness, beckoning you once again. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, all who are frightened and alone and despairing, and I will give you rest and peace. Peace not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. For take heart, I have overcome the world, he says. And he has done it all for you this day, as always, as he has always faithfully done for you. Despite your doubts, despite your fears, despite your echoing of John's questions, he doesn't cast us off and say, go get stronger in this faith. He meets us where we are at, and he restores us. He creates in us clean hearts and renews a right spirit within us. He casts us not away from his presence, and he certainly does not take his Holy Spirit from us. But rather today, he restores to us the joy. We rejoice today. We lit the pink candle. That's what that's all about today, rejoicing in his salvation for us. And we leave this place today not simply keeping this to ourselves, but we leave this place today in our hearts, in our minds, in our lips, and in our actions to tell other people what we have seen and heard. We speak to the lonely, the sorrowful, and the depressed. We show the love and compassion to those locked in the prison of sin and death. We speak to all that we have heard and seen the Christ, and we invite them to this place so that their sins may be covered, that they may have the true joy only found in Him who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We speak of a Savior who welcomes all the weary, all the burdened, all the ones with doubts and fears, ones who have faced all of the horrific acts of life. And we speak of a resurrection and a new life and a new world, even in the midst of a world full of death. We speak that there is light for our path, that the valley of the shadow of death will not overcome us, but that our good shepherd is with us and does not leave us or forsake us, but he suffers for us and dies for us, all so that he may call you his own beloved children. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by the cross of Jesus. Blessed is the one who has not yet seen, but yet also now believes. Blessed is the one who sees the dawning day in the midst of this dark, dark world. Blessed are you as we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come now and come quickly to bring us out of this world full of darkness and into your light. Blessed are you, trusting that Jesus is the one who has come for you and that you need not look anywhere else. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Come soon, Lord Jesus. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.